Summary of the news. Egypt's interim foreign minister Nabil Fahmy has said it was necessary for the security forces to move against anti-government demonstrators last week because the protesters were trying to undermine the foundations of the state. There have been 4 days of violence in which hundreds of people have been killed. The Egyptian cabinet is meeting and is expected to discuss a proposal to ban the Muslim Brotherhood, whose members support the deposed president Mohamed Morsi. Sussex police are investigating allegations that a woman had been planning to take her husband to the Dignitas Centre in Switzerland, which helps people to take their own lives. A woman of 65 from the Chichester area and a man of 25 have been arrested on suspicion of encouraging or assisting a suicide. The government says it's committed to keeping the cost of the high-speed rail project, HS2, under control. It follows a warning that it could cost more than £80 billion, almost double the current estimate. The free market think tank, the Institute for Economic Affairs, has said the extra costs could come from lobbying by local councils for extra infrastructure. Spanish fishermen have been protesting against the building of an artificial reef near the disputed British territory of Gibraltar. The fishermen claim that the concrete reef can snare their nets. Gibraltar's government says the reef protects fish stocks from being overexploited. A German tourist has been killed in Venice after the gondola he was travelling in collided with a water bus. The 50-year-old man was with his family near the Rialto Bridge. It's thought he became wedged between the boats as he tried to save his 3-year-old daughter. Chinese state media says the trial of the disgraced politician Bo Xilai on charges of bribery, corruption and abuse of power will start on Thursday. His downfall was triggered by a series of scandals, including the murder of the British businessman Neil Hayward in 2011. And the weather, dry and bright across the UK, with very strong winds across parts of Northern Ireland and Scotland. A few showers are likely, but it'll be mild, with temperatures ranging from 16 to 23 degrees. BBC News and Weather at 1:02. And time now here on BBC Radio 3 for the Early Music Show, presented by Catherine Bott.
O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. 17th century German music by Heinrich Schütz from his Symphonie Sacrae of 1629. That was Domine Labia Mea Aperies, sung by soprano Barbara Borden and tenor Douglas Nasuari with Concerto Palatino. Expressive and uplifting, but quite old-fashioned music for its time, given all the exciting stuff that was going on the other side of the Alps in Italy. There were two good reasons for this. First, the Thirty Years' War, whose origins would require a whole programme to elucidate or indeed justify. It ran from 1618 to 1648, with consequences that covered much of modern Europe. Vast tracts of land laid waste, economies ruined, death and destruction of property, and with severe cultural consequences too. You could even say that in musical terms, Baroque style arrived very late in Germany because of that war. The other reason is tied in with Schütz, Germany's preeminent composer in the first half of the 17th century. The young Schütz went to Venice in 1609 and stayed for 4 years, studying with the elderly Giovanni Gabrieli. His great Italian master was insistent that a thorough grounding in all the traditional compositional principles was essential. Only when counterpoint held no more secrets could one begin to express oneself fully. Schütz returned home, eventually becoming court composer to the Elector of Saxony, and was always keen to pass on his Venetian-taught wisdom to his students, one of whom was the subject of today's early music show, Matthias Weckmann. Thank you. Sonata No. 5 in four parts by Matthias Weckmann, subtitled, appropriately for a piece written by a man born in the second year of the Thirty Years' War, Battaglia. Weckmann, son of an organist, became a choir boy at the Dresden Court Chapel in 1630 and was trained by Schütz, who gave him his first lessons in composition and also sent him to Hamburg to study the organ with Jakob Praetorius, who'd been a pupil of the great Dutch master Swelinck. So, Weckmann was growing up to be another link in a great tradition. He returned to Dresden to become chapel organist, but Schütz, his first teacher, must still have had something to offer, because Weckmann then followed him to Denmark for a four-year stay. This was a very wise move. As I've already mentioned, the depredations of the Thirty Years' War were financial as well as physical, and in Dresden, Weckmann was owed 3 years' salary. As the Thirty Years' War was beginning to draw to a close, Weckmann returned to Dresden, and in 1655 he moved to Hamburg to become organist at the Jakobikirche, now St. James's Cathedral. Well, it wasn't as simple as that. To win this coveted post, he had to submit to a gruelling audition in front of a six-strong panel of distinguished colleagues. But he got the job, inherited a magnificent instrument, and had it extensively renovated and enlarged. And he was to stay in Hamburg until his death in 1674. Here's one of his toccatas, played by Josef Kelemen on the organ of the Jakobikirche.
Thank you.
A toccata on the 12th tone by Matthias Weckmann, played by Josef Kelemen on the organ of St. James's Cathedral, Hamburg. The instrument that we heard was remodelled by Arp Schnittke in 1693, nearly 20 years after Weckmann's death, but it contains the largest number of original pipes ever found in an organ built before 1700. 1,000, a quarter of the total number, date from before Schnittke's time, and the fourth manual was installed in 1636, so Weckmann must have played on that during his tenure. And in Josef Kellermann's liner note, he takes care to assure us that this recording tries to restrict itself to the registers that the organ had while Weckmann was in Hamburg. Weckmann really made his musical mark on Hamburg. He played at the Church of St. Gertrude, as well as at St. James's, and founded a Collegium Musicum, or Music Society, to provide weekly concerts, in which he was often joined by some of the city's leading professional musicians. Most of his surviving compositions date from his Hamburg years. Some of the finest are found today in a manuscript assembled in 1663, a year of misery and turmoil for Weckmann and for Hamburg. More about that later. First, we're going to hear one of the four sacred concertos from the manuscript, written in 1662. These aren't concertos in the modern sense of the word. They're devotional texts set for voices and instruments. This is Weine nicht, es hat überwunden, words from the Book of Revelations. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. Amen. It's performed by the Richacar Consort, directed by Philippe Pierlot.
Stamm Judah, die Wunder zerbricht. der Löwe vom Schamjuda, die Wurzel da.
Lob und Ehre und Reichs und Gewalt von Ewigkeit zu Ewigkeit.
Philippe Pierlot directed the Ritschka consort in the sacred concerto Weine nicht, es hat überwunden by Matthias Weckmann. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott. This programme is also available as a download. And another thing about this programme, credit where credit's due. Back in the spring, I was listening to CD Review in the car, and Andrew McGregor's Disc of the Week was the one we've just been listening to. The music made me recall the one Weckmann piece I'd sung long ago and was so haunting that when I got home, I just sat in the car until it was over. Then I rushed in and emailed the Early Music Show team to see if we too could look into Matthias Weckmann. Result. Another sacred concerto a bit later, a sadder one altogether. But first, some jollity with two little songs, one with a personal dedication. The Ritschka consort have abbreviated these confections of simple rhyme. Apparently they all have many verses. First, a song called The Sweetness of the Beautiful Girl from Hamburg. And then, a mill song on the occasion of Herr Müller's wedding. I think I see what Weckmann's doing there. Soprano Greta de Rechere with the Ritschka consort in two songs by Matthias Weckmann which show his lighter side, as does this next sonata. As we've heard, Weckmann was steeped in the tradition that had come down to him from Gabrieli through Schütz, but this sonata is a quirky delight. ¶¶ La Fenice with Weckmann's Sonata No. 9 in four parts. One of the great staples of Baroque keyboard player mythology is the duel between two virtuosi, the improvise-off, as it would probably be called if it were on television today. Bach v. Marchand, for example, where the lesser man did a moonlight flit, and Weckmann v. Froberger had a most unlikely outcome. Sometime between his years in Denmark and his arrival in Hamburg, Weckmann went to Dresden, where the Elector of Saxony invited him, for invite read command, I reckon, to compete, but not play too well, at the harpsichord with his near contemporary, the imperial court composer Johann Jakob Froberger. Froberger was an exceptional player, who, despite the war, had travelled much more widely than Weckmann. He'd studied with Frescobaldi in Rome. He played several of his own compositions, and Weckmann then improvised on a given theme. And the charming consequence was that the two men became lifelong friends. Siebenhänstra, playing a canzon in G major by Matthias Weckmann. Weckmann seems to have been very contented in Hamburg, but in 1663, catastrophe, summed up by the poet and preacher Johann Rist. Therefore it pleased his gracious will to afflict diverse places, foremost among them the world-famous city of Hamburg, with persistent epidemics and burdensome diseases, and thereby swiftly to snatch away a large number of people from this world. Public life came to a standstill, with bodies piled up in the streets. Weckmann himself lost count of the number of friends and colleagues who were carried off by the plague with no warning. Convinced that his own death must be imminent, he wrote a motet for his funeral and prepared to meet his maker. The motet wasn't needed for another 11 years, but his music, not only of that dreadful year, but for the rest of his life, was imbued with a sense of mortality. The sacred concerto we're going to hear now, another from that new Richikar consort recording, may have been written after the plague year, but this setting of verses from Psalm 73 is sombre indeed. Lord, if only I have you, I ask for nothing from heaven or earth. When both body and soul fail me, you remain, God, forever my heart's solace and my portion. the Richacar Consort, directed by Philippe Pierlot, in Weckmann's sacred concerto, Herr, wenn ich nur dich habe. Throughout his life, Weckmann seems to have been good at making loyal friends. Christoph Bernhardt, a fellow student of Schütz, survived the plague of 63, owed his appointment as cantor of the Jakobikirche to Weckmann's help, and was the man who directed a performance of that plague-year motet at his funeral in 1674. Weckmann's son Jakob succeeded him as organist of the Jakobikirche. The list of Weckmann's works in Grove's dictionary is pretty brief. His output lay neglected for many years, until it began to dawn on scholars that he was a sort of German missing link between Schütz and Bach. Today, he is generally regarded as one of the most important composers of Protestant church music of the mid-17th century. But let's end today with a reminder of Weckmann the organist. He himself may never have been to Italy, but as one critic wrote, "The Italians had never heard such organists as Weckmann, and thought very highly of him, because he was able in all things."
Organ music from the Magnificat on the Secundi Toni, played by Maud Graton. And that ends today's Early Music Show, which was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Rebecca Bean. And you can find all the details of the music played today on the Radio 3 website, from where the programme is also available as a free download. It's 2 o'clock, and now we come to the Sunday concert, another chance to hear one of the proms which was given last Wednesday. It's introduced by Sarah Moore Peach.
Tchaikovsky's Third Symphony, Beethoven's Third Piano Concerto, played by Proms debut artist Sanuk Kim, and Janáček's Sinfonietta are on the Proms programme here at the Albert Hall. The Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, here with their chief conductor Kirill Karabits. Tonight is a special occasion for the orchestra, not just because they're here at the Proms, but they're also saying goodbye to one of their longest-standing players, the bassoonist Bob Walker, who leaves them after 40 years in the job.
Yes, it's going to be rather sad and strange.
And in the 40 years, can you pick a standout moment?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, there must have been plenty, but...
There have been plenty. I suppose, coming to the Albert Hall, we did our centenary concert here. Gosh, when would that be? 1993. Mahler 2, I remember. I was playing first bassoon in that concert as well, which was rather exciting.
What do bassoonists get really excited about playing?
Actually, interestingly... Tonight, we played my last concert, one of my favourite pieces, Janáček's Sinfonietta. The bassoons have hardly anything to play, all that noise, and we're sitting there listening to this fantastic sound coming from behind. And I actually went out in the rehearsal, and it's nowhere into the audience, it's nowhere near as good as where I sit. This fantastic brass sound swamping all around us, it's amazing.
Bassoonist Bob Walker, and I can see him now on stage just tuning his bassoon. Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra all set on stage here at the Royal Albert Hall for their prom tonight. The first piece on their programme, the Sinfonietta by Janáček, written in 1926 for a gymnastics competition. Here's Kirill Karabits now making his way on stage, shaking the hand of the leader to conduct the Janáček Sinfonietta, and listen out for the brass.
Thank you.
Thank you.